Share with you on this great topic. And so like this, very very interesting. If you look at the poskim, starting in the 1950s, you have the Minchas Yitzchak, Shas and Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak, major posek, Dayan Weiss. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Dayan Weiss. This is a major major voice, Dayan Weiss, and he writes it's usher to donate a kidney. Right? Can't donate a kidney. So he writes in a tshuva dated 1961. Then it's Tzitz Eliezer,
right?
What's
the basis?
He says too much danger. Too dangerous.
Okay.
There's live kidney donation?
Live kidney donation.
For the donor.
It was, really.
Of course. Yeah.
That's what he wrote in 1961. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer, right?
Is this the Dayan Weiss from the Badatz?
Dayan Weiss from the Badatz. That's correct. From the Eidah Haredis. That's correct. He's the one that, you know, if you look in the Tshuva literature, he's always disagreeing with Ramosha. Whenever Ramosha is lenient, Dayan Weiss is machmer. That's pretty much you can pretty much count on Dayan Weiss to be pretty strict. I'm sorry.
Bishamai.
He would be Bishamai. That's probably correct. He would probably disagree, but he would probably we can call him though Bishamai. But then it's interesting that you take a look in the Tzitz Eliezer. Everybody know who Tzitz Eliezer was, right? Rebbe Eliezer Waldenberg, right? Major major posse. And I met him, and it was great, in his house, and it was in 1993. He just came out, he was like 90 years old, and he just came out with another sefer, and it was like his 30th sefer, and he was so excited that it came out. I mean, you'd think after that time he's not so excited anymore. But anyway, so the Tzitz Eliezer, he was a major authority when it comes to medical halacha. In fact, his great advantage when it came to medical halacha was that he was actually, anybody know what his job was? What was his job? He was out based in Yerushalayim, but besides being out there, it was two jobs. What was his job? He was the Rav of Shaarei Tzedek. And what that meant was that he davened with the doctors every single day. So while they're taking off the tefillin, they're talking medicine. So he was with doctors all the time. He also had a big advantage over Rav Moshe in terms of medical halacha, because the Tzitz Eliezer was, Well, that's the understatement of the year. The only thing is about Rav Moshe was like this. Rav Moshe didn't have a direct line to the doctors because Rav Moshe was not fluent in English. But the Tzitz Eliezer was fluent in Ivrit, of course. So he's able, and the doctors, of course, are fluent in Ivrit. So he's able to speak in the common language. So, but of course, as you noted, as Adam's dad noted correctly, Rav Tandler would certainly disagree with that. But Tzitz Eliezer already addressed the issue of a live kidney donation. Is the donor permitted to have the donor in 1971? And his conclusion was that he gave a definite maybe, right? And his maybe, will I? And then he starts kuliyai, will I? He comes back and forth. He's not so sure. Then Rav Avadji Yosef, then he deals with the issue in 1980. Well, if you had a guess. What is Rav Avadji Yosef going to say in 1980? With that, he says, well, I've spoken to a lot of doctors, and they all tell me that it's 99% safe. And he already writes a language that it is a mitzvah. Right? It's a mitzvah to donate. Now, what did he not write? He wrote it's a mitzvah. What did he not write?
It's a requirement.
He did not say it's a chiyuv. Okay? So he writes it's a mitzvah to donate. So of course, how do we explain what's going on over here? Why do these rabbis keep on changing their mind? Why is it that why do the rabbis say in 1959, oh, no way, and all of a sudden in 1970, maybe, and then 1980 already, okay, mitzvah. Why might that be? Why might that be? Why did it change? Of course, what's the reason? Why did it change? Because of medicine. It's not the halakha change, right? It's just the medicine change. There's a fundamental machlokas when it comes to the mitzvah of saving somebody else. What's the mitzvah of saving somebody else? What's that called? That's a mitzvah that's called lo samod. Lo samod. Now, does the halacha require you to go? What kind of commitment do you have to make? Does anybody know the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph? What does it say? The Gemara says you have to do two things. Megra agure. What does that mean? To spend money, right? Mitrach tarach, which means that you have to make an effort. So money and an effort. What's not clear about that? Money, effort. What about what's left unclear? What about
health?
What about health? Can you put yourself at risk to save your life to save somebody else? Very not clear. So from this Gemara or anywhere else in the Bava. Not clear at all. The Yerushalmi makes the assertion that one is actually obligated to risk oneself's life to save somebody else. The Yerushalmi says explicitly you're obligated to do so, and the Bavli is silent. Did you ever hear such a situation like this, where the Bavli says you must do something, and the Bavli is silent? You ever hear such a situation like this? You have at least a dozen times, dozen, 20, two dozen, three dozen times. What do you do in a situation like this? Not clear. Usually we follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. When the Bavli is silent and the Yerushalmi is explicit, well, what do we follow the Bavli or not? Well, if you had a guess, you're based on your yeshiva background, if you don't know the answer, what should the answer be? When you never know, when you don't know what the answer is, what should you just say? You look like a genius.
Look it up in the
Rambam. Is it what? Machlokas. Mayor just graduated TABC. I'm an alumnus for one year, and he's telling us straight off the bat.
1 week.
That's right. 1 week. 1 week. 1 week alumnus. That it's a machlokas, and it is a machlokas. Now, Ghost Maimonio says that one, yes, we follow the Yerushalmi, you must risk your life to save somebody else. However, this Hagbos Maimonio is not presented in the Rambam, not presented in the Rush, not presented in the Rif. And take a guess, where is it not presented? In the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch makes no mention that one is obligated to risk one's life to save somebody else. Okay. So it seems halach lamasa that you are not required to risk your life to save somebody else. And this came up in an unbelievable question, and we'll see how this is going to get back to kidney transplants. An unbelievable question that came up to the Radvaz. Radvaz, anybody know where he lived? Rav David Ben Zimri, give you a sense of where he was a Sfaradi, one of the major Mefarshim to the Rambam. The Radvaz writes that the Radvaz had the following question. Unbelievable situation happened in Egypt, that the governor said to the non-Jewish governor, naturally said to a Jew, either you have the following choice: I'm going to kill this other Jew. So it comes to the Radvaz with this question: well, what am I going to do? Am I required to sacrifice my life, a limb in order to save somebody else? Right? So if you were the Radvaz, what would you answer? Especially living in the 16th century, would you say obligated? No obligation. But he says that what? That he says three things. No obligation. What else does he say? He says that there is. He says he says if it's a huge danger, usser. But if it's only a moderate danger, then he said it would be a mitzvah. It would be a mitzvah.
Don't we paskin like sacrificing a limb is the same thing as sacrificing your, like, like there's the same risk?
I mean, pikuach nefesh, you can save, yes. you can. Is it your job is to save a limb?
Yes. Also, that's
is that I'm is that clear cut?
Machlokas.
It is a machlokas. How did you know?
Well, certainly, halacha l'maisa, we take a kid who breaks his leg to the hospital on Shabbos.
We do. Because we get it through the back door. Because we say any time that there's a broken limb, it's a danger to life. De facto. Well, not de jure. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Want a drink?
Yes, I'm dying of something.
Sure.
So while you're getting a diet something,
I had to take a blood test today, and I've gone there 50 times to the hospital.
Yeah.
It takes 15, 20 minutes. Today I had to wait an hour and a quarter. And then the cab down here. So where'd you get up to?
So what we did is follows. We mentioned that there was a change in posting.
Okay, we're going to talk
right, the three posting, and then we mentioned the Radvaz. We mentioned the tension between Lo Samar Adam Reacha, Megar Gurei, Meser.
Okay, so you did the whole share. Good. Excellent. Excellent.
Rabbi, would you like some food? Some fruit, maybe?
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
Water?
No, that's fine. Okay, I know that people are on a tight schedule. I really apologize. Okay, just a recap that which Rabbi Jack just said. The Torah states in Parshas Kedoshim, it's Perek Yutes, the Sefer Vayikra, Lo Selech Rachil Ba'amecha, Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Reyecha Ani Hashem. So Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha is interpreted as whenever you see somebody in danger, you're obligated to respond. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you turn to the next page, it's Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, I'm sure he mentioned that. Nayin l'rodei fachachaveri l'horgo, sheniten l'hatzilo b'nafsho. How do I know this is a classic sugi of Rodeif? I am running after somebody with the intent to kill him. How do I know that someone else is permitted to go ahead and save my friend by killing me? Talmud loymar lo samar al dam riecha. Ask the Gemara, v'hala achi hu da'asa. You mean to tell me that this is the, teach me the halach of Rodeif? Hai mi boyele l'chidesanya. This is this pasuk is required for a different limud. Minayin l'roes chaver shu toveya banor. How do I know if I see my friend drowning? Ochayiko rurasa, an animal is dragging him. Oh, listin bonolav, or he's attacked by thieves. Shu chayiv lahatzilo. Talmud loymer lo samar al dam riecha. So the pasuk is not giving a license for anybody to kill. It's talking about a total different situation. It's telling my obligation to go ahead and enable somebody to be spared of a potential danger which they're facing at that moment. Says the Gemara, Eino Chanami. You're right. You're right. So the Gemara then goes on to explain whatever it does in relationship to a Rodeif. But the Gemara then asks at the second to the last line of this paragraph, do we learn that it is my obligation to try to save somebody who is in danger from the pasuk of Lo Samer Al Dam Reyacha? Mehasam Nafka. We learn it from a different source. What is the different source? A Kal V'Choymar from Avedas Mamo. Avedas Gufo Minayin. Talmud Loymar V'Hashivoso Lo. The Torah says in Parshat Kisetzei, if I find something, I have an obligation to retrieve it to its rightful owner. So the Gemara, the Torah uses the expression "vahashevoso lo," literally meaning you shall return it to him. It is the lost article. I lost this can of soda. I should return it to its rightful owner. Here's somebody's phone or tape recorder. I return it to its rightful owner. But the Gemara darshins not that it refers to a lost article, but you should return him to himself. Namely, if I am facing danger, I am in the process of losing my life. So if you come and respond and help me when I'm drowning, you are returning me to myself. So the Gemara operates with a Kal V'Chomer. If I'm obligated to return somebody's tape recorder, certainly I should be able to return that particular individual faces danger. So the Gemara says, I don't need the pasuk of Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Reyacha to teach me that if I see you drowning, I should make an attempt to save you. If I see you being attacked by somebody, I should make an attempt to save you. I don't need the pasuk of Lo Sa'amod Al Dam Reyacha. It's learned out from a Kal V'Chomer of Avedas Mamon. If I'm obligated to go through the effort of retrieving your money, certainly I should be obligated to retrieve your life, and at the moment your life is in danger. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Imehasam hava amina hamimili binafshe avo mitrach umegar agure emolo kamashmalon. I could have thought that had I only had vahashevo so low, the only thing that I would be obligated to do was expend physical energy. I'd have to jump into the pool and try to save you. But I wouldn't have to go ahead and hire somebody. Let's assume I'm totally incapable of swimming. But there is somebody there who's a lifeguard. I'll pay him $20 to go in and save you. How do I know that I'm obligated to go ahead and even hire workers on my behalf in order to save you? That I would not know from the Hashivo Solo. Therefore, the Gemara says, that's the addition added by the Pasuk of Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha. The additional chidush of the second Pasuk is that not only are you obligated to provide physical inertia and energy in order to save somebody who's in danger, but you even have to go to the expenditure
of even hiring somebody. It's a different discussion whether you can recover the wages from that person. That's not my discussion. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the key to this Gemara is the following query. If the Gemara gives this illustration to highlight the difference between returning the phone, for which I'm not obligated to hire somebody if I can't return it myself, and to save a human being, to save somebody's life, where I am obligated, is this the only difference that the Gemara can chart between returning a lost object and saving somebody? Or is this Gemara telling us that there are fundamental differences between returning a lost object and trying to save somebody's life? And there might be five other differences between the two. So my question will be, is when the Gemara says that I need a second pasuk of Lo Samed Al Dam Re'acha because Deshavas Aveda, is this the only illustration of the difference between the two? Or is this an example, but there might be other differences between the two? And the classic case which we're going to raise is there a mitzvah to do so? Is there a mitzvah to save somebody? Am I obligated to save somebody? Obligated. I could say that that's a much greater difference than v'hashevo so lo and lo samet al dam reyacha. That I'm really obligated to go even at the possible risk of my own life. I might have to sacrifice my life. If I am not the greatest swimmer in the world, but I'm a fairly decent swimmer, I might even be obligated to save my to risk my own life. Whereas to risk my life, to return the phone, that doesn't exist. So there might be other differences between the two. But the Bavli only gives the difference. What difference does the Bavli code? Am I obligated to hire somebody or not? That's the only difference that the Gemara says. So I will tell you that in relationship to my question, am I obligated to put myself at some risk in order to save you? That halacha is not to be found in a Rambam, in a Rif, or in Shulchan Aruch. No place in Shulchan Aruch, or in the Rambam or in the Rif, does it ever state clearly that you or I are obligated to put our lives in danger in order to save somebody who's definitely going to die. Because the guy is, you can see he's drowning. Or he's being attacked and beaten mercilessly. I have no obligation. And it could be that they understood the Gemara, that if there was such an obligation, the Gemara would have quoted this difference between Hashavas Aveda and Lo Samed Al Dam Re'acha, because it's a much greater chidush than hiring somebody. The mere fact that the Gemara did not quote it, perhaps is an indication that the halacha simply does not exist. Whereas in the Yerushalmi, it definitely does exist. In the Talmud, Palestinian Talmud, Talmud Yerushalmi, such an obligation does exist. Turn the page. And this is Maseches Trumot in the Yerushalmi, chapter 8, halacha Dalit. The Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Imi Itzad Besif Seife. Capture location. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, others have the Girsa Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because it's usually Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yichrach Hameis Besadino. The only thing that we have to worry about now is providing a shroud. If he dies, he dies. I have no obligation to try to save him. So if he's in a dangerous location and he gets killed, so I'll make sure that I bring a shroud in order to tachrichen, to bury him. But I'm not lifting a finger to try to save him because I have no obligation.
It's not an issue of pidyon shvuyim.
What? No, this is where you physically are going to go ahead and try to save him. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Ad de anakatil ana mitkatel. I'm going to do one of two things. Either I'm going to kill the captor, or I'm going to get killed. But I'm not going to stand by and watch Rav Imi be taken captive and perhaps put to death. I'm not going to stand by. Ana ezel umeshizve le b'chayla. I will go and rescue him with force. End of Yerushalmi. Now, Reish Lakish can be interpreted in one of two ways. Here you have an episode, Amoraic sage, Chachmei Yerushalmi, first generation of Chachmei Yerushalmi, and what does he do? He says, I am going to make an effort to save my friend Rav Imi. There are two ways that you can understand him. You can understand that Reish Lakish believed that there was an obligation to do so, and he's just discharging his biblical obligation of Lo Samer Al Dam Re'echa. Or you can say, there is no such obligation. But he is volunteering to try to save him. But there exists no such obligation upon you or me to make an effort to save Rav Imi. The Gemara could be interpreted smoothly in either direction. In either direction. Either there's an obligation, and Reish Lakish is discharging his obligation, or there is no such obligation. So this also is going to be a matter of debate. How to interpret Reish Lakish's actions? First of all, Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that neither of the options exist. I have no mitzvah to do so, and obviously Rabbi's obligation, forget about a mitzvah, nothing. Let him die and that's it. I don't have to risk my life at all in order to save somebody else. So these two possibilities are once again debated. If you turn the page. So, okay, this is the Orach Laner, not so important. But if you'll skip to the next page, which I should have put the numbers on it, is a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is Igros Moshe, Yoredei Chelek Beis, Siman Kuf Ayin Daled. So in the paragraph which I outlined here, Rav Moshe takes the position, understands the Gemara, that even according to Reish Lakish, the Yerushalmi, there is no obligation whatsoever to risk your life in order to save somebody else. No obligation whatsoever. But the reshus, the opportunity, does exist. Does exist. So he writes, Avolahatzil, the second bracketed issue. Lahatzil nefesh chaveroi, af shigam kein hurak be'isur lav, yeh mutter lahachnis atzmo besofek, me'achar de'al kol panim, yutzal nefesh mi'yisroel, lefi ma'shekosav sheperish rashi, b'sanhedrin, da'fayin dalad, diber maschol svara, b'tam sheyeh horeg v'lo yavor beretzicha, mishum de'shekishi yavor v'yaharog v'hu yinatzel, hare ikar tarte, ibud neshama v'aveira. So Rav Moshe writes, that under ordinary circumstances, in order to prevent the violation of a lav, you are never permitted to put your life in danger. Never permitted to put your life in danger. Never. But in this situation, you're allowed to put your life in danger. I could have thought you're never allowed to. Why should I put my life in danger and risk my own life just to save somebody else? I could have posited that you're not allowed to do so. And there will be some Paiskim who say that under these circumstances, which we're talking about today, with the kidney donation, you're never allowed to do, at least in early times, they felt it was too risky, and you're not permitted to do so. So Rav Moshe b'zeimreyacha, that there is a mitzvah to do so. But you are allowed to do so if you so desire. So his interpretation of the Yerushalmi is that even the Yerushalmi begrudgingly allows you to do it, but there is certainly no obligation, no mitzvah to do so. It's what he would call midas chasidus. It's a nice thing to do, but no mitzvah to do so. So you don't have to feel guilty if you don't act. You don't have to feel guilty that you're violating something if you don't act. So the Bavli says absolutely nothing about an obligation, and the Bavli doesn't even quote the case. Perhaps, according to the Bavli, you're not allowed to put yourself in danger in order to save somebody who is in danger, because chayecha koidmin, your life always takes priority over somebody else's. According to the Yerushalmi, the way Rav Moshe understands it, it's simply a license to do so, but no mitzvah to do so. No mitzvah to do so. No mitzvah to do so. And again, as I said, if you'll open up the Rambam and Hilchot Tzeach Shmiras Nefesh, you will not find a mitzvah where the Rambam describes Lo Samet Al Dam Re'acha, that there is a mitzvah to engage in saving a life if it means a risk to your own life. The Rif never recorded it. Shulchan Aruch never recorded it. So the overwhelming majority of the early poskim certainly do not mandate that you expose yourself to any risk whatsoever in order to save somebody else who is possibly vadai going to die. Yes.
In terms of like no one seems to be talking about like the probability of your mission or your attempt to save the person's life succeeding. Is there any level, like, does anyone say that, like,
yeah,
you know, if it's impossible...
Yeah, so Ovadia Yosef will take statistics into account. Mm-hmm. Will take statistics into account. And that's why he will disagree with the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, who was the Dayan of the Eidah Haredes, who did not allow people to donate a kidney donations while you were alive. If you turn the page, you have his psak. Now, the Hagos Maimonis, in commenting on the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Ritzeach Nefesh, in not every edition of the Hagos Maimonis has this comment. I've checked several versions. Some have the comment which he claims the Hagos Maimonis may. Some editions of the Rambam do not have it. Look in Perek Aleph, Halacha Tesvav of Hilchos Ritzeach Ushmiras Nefesh, Hagos Maimonis. Hine re'isi b'sma shehevi b'shem ha'goes maimin shekosa b'shem ha'yurchu safek sakana. The ha'goes maiminis says something that no one else thus far has said. Not only are you allowed to, but you're obligated to put yourself in danger if somebody else is in vadai danger. You're obligated to put yourself in safek sakana. You might even lose your life. Even an obligation in order to help spare someone who definitely faces loss of life. Aval harif v'haramba v'harosh v'hatur v'hashulchan aruch hishmituhu have omitted this particular halacha. Skip to line 5, towards the end of the line. Ube nidan didan, and in our case, about donating a kidney, bevadai ika sakana al hanituach ba'atzmo. There is no doubt that the surgery itself is a dangerous procedure. Vegam lehaba al chasaras kulya shelo. And later also, the fact that he's missing a kidney, what happens if your one kidney goes bad? That's it. You don't have a backup kidney. Vegam ma demashma lechora da hapluk de rak im tsorich olo. Avo mutter imrotze, even those who say that you may not have to risk your life, but you're allowed to, kol ze dafka im yachnis atzma l'safik sakana yatzilis chaveru bebirur. That's only if you're guaranteed to save your friend. But I'm not quite sure that a kidney transplant is going to be all that successful. And there is no guarantee that your friend who needs the kidney is going to recover, so therefore I prohibit donating a kidney. Don't forget, this tshuva was authored in 1961, when the medical technology was not the way it is today. So he writes for the Eidah Haredes that you are never permitted to donate a kidney while you are alive. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, if you turn to the next page, writing his tshuva in 1980, disagrees with him. And he says, Al Yisod Hadvarim Hanal, Don Hagon Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, Rosh Av Bezdin, Ho'eda HaKaredis Birushalayim, Besifro Shut Mid Chasitzchak Chelek Vav, Le'esor Litrom Kliya Lachole Kloyot, Shinishkefet lo sakana. He prohibited donating a kidney. Habari, since there is a danger to the healthy person who is donating. V'chein yachol liyot shibatid yavo hatorem lidei sakana kishechaseru lo achas mikloyosav. V'nimtza shahatorem machnis atzmo l'sofik sakana. Therefore, the torem, the donor, is putting himself into danger. V'chein lo yeyaseh l'das ha-ridbaz v'siyaseh, he quotes a ridbaz. V'chein hela hagon Rabbi Lezer Yehuda Waldenberg, av bezn Yerushalayim, b'sifro shutzit Eliezer. V'chein chelek tes al yisod divrei ha-poskim ha'el. V'al smach divrei ha-rofim she'omru lo, she'maseh hotzoas kli achas mikli yosef shela toreim karuch b'sakonas nefashos. That since he spoke to doctors, and doctors said that there is an enormous risk to donating, l'chein he'elo she'ein la'asos kein. Skip a line. In the middle of the line, he says, ulam, however, be'emet, she'nimtzar lono mipi rofim mumchim v'yirei shamayim, she'dargat ha'sikun, b'hotzoas ha'kliel adam ha'toreim, hi mu'etes ma'od. That in 1980, already the danger to the donor is minimal. Ukishetishim v'tisha achuzim mehatormim chozim libriusam hatikina. 99% of those who donate return to their former regular health. Ulefize hare kol ma sheeskimu aposkim hanal she'osalach nasach misafik sakana zehu rak b'safik hashoko. That's only when it's a 50-50 chance that you're going to suffer irreparable damage to yourself. Ma she'ein kein benidon shelanu, shebevadai shemitzvah hi litrom kidei lahatzil et chavero mimaves patuach. It is a mitzvah to donate a kidney in order to prevent certain death to the person who is struck with kidney disease. So he is one of the earliest poskim to state unequivocally that there is a mitzvah to do so, and the factor that you have to consider suffix sakana is no longer applicable because it's not suffix sakana any longer to yourself. So Rav Avadi Yosef hasn't really addressed the issue: are you obligated or / permitted to put yourself into a situation when there is a real sakanas nefashos to yourself? But kidneys, if you look at I had my kidney transplant at Sinai, which does more kidney transplants than any other hospital in the city, so they have their statistics online for every single year, and their they talk about success rate and donor. The success rate for the patient over the last 10 years is 97% successful for the patient who is the recipient, and the number of deaths is 1 in 10,000 for the donor. 1 in 10,000 for the donor. That's what they list on their website. So the medical aspects have even improved above and beyond when Rav Ovadia Yosef authors his tshuva. So, again, we don't have a situation which answers the original question. Are you obligated to put yourself in suffix sakana? This is not suffix sakana. The question is, are you obligated to put yourself in tsa'ar in order to save somebody else? That's debated by those who disagree with Ovadia Yosef. And many claim that not only are you not obligated to put yourself in danger if there is not obligated to save somebody, to make an effort to save somebody, when you might put danger to yourself, but you're not even obligated to save somebody if you're going to suffer any pain. Any pain whatsoever. And as a result, they will say that even today, you're not obligated to do so. Because there's no doubt that there is pain. There is no doubt that there is pain. After the procedure, you are in serious pain for a couple of days. I can tell you in my own situation, I have four beautiful children. Thank God all four of them volunteered to be the donor. All four of them tested as a positive match. And then there was only the hassling amongst the siblings who is actually going to be the donor. And they worked out that they felt that my son Svi, my second son, would be the best possible candidate. But he was in a lot of pain right afterwards. He recovered rather quickly. 2 weeks later, he went back to work. But for 2 weeks, he was out of work. And the first couple of days, he was the anesthesia itself is extremely painful because they cause these terrible pains inside, and the gas that you suffer inside is excruciating pain. Obviously, the recipient suffers that as well. So there is an enormous amount of pain. So Avadia Yosef, touches upon that later on, but he certainly recommends that one should do so. And he quotes the pasuk, "Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara," that anybody who performs a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him, and he won't suffer terribly. If you wanted to just recap between what Rabbi Jachter said and what I just said, the Gemara itself never uses the words that you're obligated to put yourself at any risk to help anybody else. Never. The Bavli doesn't even give a trace of such a statement. Bavli's application of Lo Samen Al Dam Re'acha is you have to be willing to spend a few dollars to hire somebody. That's it. And apparently the Rambam, the Rif, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rush understood the Bavli that way and paskened against the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, in the name of Rish Lakish, allows somebody to do so, perhaps even mandates. It's not clear from the episode of Rish Lakish whether he felt he was mandated or he was permitted to do so. Rav Moshe believes that it's only a permit to do so. There is no such obligation to put yourself in potential danger to save somebody else. There is no mitzvah to do so, even according to the Yerushalmi. There are those who believe that if there is any danger to yourself, you are not permitted to do so, and therefore, in the early decision-making times, Rav Weiss felt that you're not allowed to because the risk was too great. It was, in his opinion, was about what we call a suffix, a shakul, 50-50 chance whether the donor would survive. Ovadia Yosef's doctors tell him that it's 99% chance of survival, 1% chance is not to be reckoned with, and that you would be obligated, there's a mitzvah to do so, to engage in some degree of minimal risk in order to save somebody who's definitely going to die. Today, there is growing support for people in Brooklyn called Project Renewal. They've been to various shuls in Teaneck and will be at Renat sometime in the near future. They've been, I know, at Beth Aaron when Rabbi Rothwax donated a kidney, and we're at Ketet Torah, and as I said, they're coming to Renat soon as well, where they are trying to encourage people to donate kidneys because it's a life-saving opportunity. If you're healthy, and doctors will tell you that you can live with one kidney, it's a wonderful mitzvah to engage in, and I would encourage, obviously, today, I would encourage people to consider the process because you can undoubtedly save somebody's life. I had a condition, it was called polycystic kidney condition, which is a genetic disease. My mother or father probably had it. No one, they never knew about it. One of my brothers, all my siblings were tested. One of my brothers has it. Thank God it's not too bad at this time. His kidneys are not infected with cysts. Mine are totally with cysts. There is no cure for it whatsoever. I initially started on dialysis in July, and then it came time when the kidneys were shutting down completely, and I opted for the transplant, the route. And as I said, it didn't have to worry about getting from a deceased individual where even today, with a deceased kidney, the chances of success of the operation are still fairly high today, but not nearly as good as if you have a live donor who is a real good match. And that's my story. It's it's a life-saving situation. I still have some residual issues, but hopefully they're going to be cleared up the next couple of weeks, and I'll be able to live hopefully the number of years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allotted me in relatively good health. But I could encourage everybody to consider it. Obviously, it's a serious decision. And that's it. That's it. Any questions?
What's the practice in the Haredi community these days?
Okay, so I can tell you that in Project Renewal, the overwhelming majority of donors are Chassidim. Overwhelming majority. And they're donating to people who they have no idea who they're just donating the kidney. It's not that they're doing it specifically for a relative. At least through Project Renewal, and not only here, but in London and in Eretz Yisrael as well, particularly amongst the Eda Charedut, there has been a lot of activity in that regard.
They're relying on Rav Avadi Yosef. Is there another tshuva from someone else whom they...
I can ask Rabbi Jack, though. I'm sure he knows.
From my perspective, there's nothing after Rav Avadi important.
That's true. But I'm sure they have today some of their own placekin who... You know, who would agree to that? They wouldn't.
All the Jewish people that there, does it matter? Like, because that might be.
Project Renewal is the recipients are Jewish, yeah, because it's a private organization.
Halachically, would it?
Right.
Donors and the.
Yeah. Even though they have, I don't think they're allowed to discriminate because they're attacked. They try to raise funds, so they have. Had situations where a kidney has gone to a Gentile.
Is it more likely it's a match because the heritage is aligned?
Yeah.
So, Ashley asked Rabbi Jack here earlier, in the condition where you mentioned when one of the commentaries said you had the obligation versus to or the mitzvah to donate, but in the condition where you donate and the person or the recipient gets it and unfortunately, something happens. Is there an obligation to give the kidney back? Because even if the person dies outside of what perhaps could have been a life-saving situation, but beyond any scope or any foresight, the person passed away, is there...
But to return that kidney to the original donor? Is that your question?
That's one question. The other question is, if something happens not... beyond the scope of whatever the doctors could have seen, 6 months, 6 years,
right, and the recipient dies.
And something, yeah, because of the kidney that they received, which at the time may have seen like a valid kidney, but right. As a result, it actually jeopardized that person's life. Should that go back to the donor itself? Because the donor could have lived normally and...
I have no idea if that's possible. I have no idea.
It's not more medical questions, also more, I guess, halachic type of.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Can a child ask for it back?
Whose kidney is it, really?
Right,
that's
yeah.
The question.
I mean, I know in today's day and age, contractually, people have these quirky conditions. But
yeah.
the whole line of discussion about putting yourself in danger to save others, is that used in the calculus of in other contexts of like hostage rescue or otherwise in Israel or like by the Rabbanut?
There is of the Israeli army. Rav Yuval Shurlo, a very well-known Talmud Chacham, is a member of the ethics committee, and part of the assessment whether or not they should go into an operation assesses the danger to the soldiers themselves, as to, you know, what chances are of success. Yes, 100%. Yeah.
You mentioned the army. I don't know if it would apply to the army. Can you order somebody to give somebody a kidney?
Can you order?
I mean, whether it's an army or whether it's your child. I mean,
no,
I
don't think so.
Is there some halachic?
No.
To force somebody to do it.
No, you can't force anybody. Yeah.
Halachically, I think I was trying to ask before, would it matter if, let's say, I wanted to specifically donate a kidney to somebody who is not Jewish?
Yeah.
Does the discussion change at all? Because, like, a lot of these halachas
no,
that were mentioned.
No.
You still have a chiyuv. You could put I could take a bullet for somebody who's.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, well, someone, what? Oh, right?
Yeah.
Reacha doesn't specify as a Jewish person. Just
Reacha.
Like
Reacha. Okay. It depends how.
Reacha.
It's usually Darsh and Reyeh or Velo Shalakim.
That's why.
But in practice, we don't say that.
How about like postmortem organ donation? Is this a discussion like
that?
Is that a whole separate?
That's set. We should encourage. You should become a card-carrying member of HOD, of halachic organ donation. There's no doubt that that you can save multiple lives if somebody will agree to it. Multiple lives, not just with your kidneys, your heart, and you have to be willing, though, to accept brain death as the criteria of death. Because if you accept the traditional definition of respiration or heartbeat, by the time the heart stops, none of the organs are available for transplant anymore.
To clarify, they still allow they can still do tissue donation for corneas. There's
okay,
certain
okay,
they can still do,
but right, that's true.
Some,
but most of the organs. But if you accept brain death, then you're talking about the multiple organs that can be used, and I encourage everybody. I'm a card carrying member, so was Rabbi Jack. Are you a card carrying member, folks? No? Okay. You should be.
I guess I should become.
You should be. Yes. Yeah. So I would encourage everybody. Yeah.
Would you contemplate doing the follow-up shiur sometime when that's happening?
What?
Would you contemplate doing the follow-up shiur on that topic?
Sure, 100%. Sure. It's a different set of criteria.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just to donate a kidney, but there's no chiyuv or mitzvah. Can a father tell his son, order his son to do it out of kibbut avayim?
No. Kibbut avayim plays no role in this regard whatsoever. Not. Kibbut avayim is to provide a service, not to endanger yourself. You don't have to give up a limb for your father. You don't have to. You cannot order a child to do so.
Can you take action to save yourself and put someone else's life in danger? Like, a lot of these questions came up in the Holocaust, or, you're in a hostage situation, you want to escape, and if you escape, maybe they'll kill three other people. Is that the same discussion? Is that something similar?
I don't know. Oh,
no. So I'm wondering, I know that basically what you were saying, the risk to Tzvi was very, very minimal. How did it feel knowing that he was going to be doing this for you, even with that little bit of risk? And
it felt so gratifying as a father. just the greatest satisfaction that you possibly can experience as a father, that your son is willing to do it for you. No questions asked. I didn't ask him. I would never put pressure on him that way. But they all four said we'll do it. Okay, I apologize once again for coming late. The cab guy decided to go from on Park Avenue up there. But the light changes every 20 seconds. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi Adler, for making it.
Yes.
And thank you very much for coming. Thank you, Rabbi Adler.
Thank you, Aaron, again. Thank you. It's always nice to come to your office. Yeah.
You want a bench?
I only
I
have
didn't
a
watch.
Soda.
I got one.
Okay.
Sure. And please take some food for the roll. I know it's not a
looking for the reference to get on the.
Yeah.
At least that's true.
Can I get you some?
I have the Amazon.
And they were talking about, you know, Fred is coming back.
It's like the best kept secret. Like, to me, to have an opportunity, thank you so much.
I like it, but I recognize it.